Welcome to episode 491 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Hey, Josh.
Hey.
2 weeks in a row.
I know, it's awesome.
It's going to be short, though. We don't have feedback. We don't have a whole lot of news, but that's okay. Short episodes are good. They're, you know, summer-like.
Yeah, and it gets us to, I think, what is a lot of people's favorite segment even sooner. That segment, of course, is what's going on in our entertainment centers. And I got a rant this week, folks. I got a big old rant for you all during that segment. So let's not waste any time. We don't have any feedback, like you said. If you would like to send us some feedback, you can email it to us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com or just use the contact form on the website, and all the rest of our contact info will be in the show notes or later on at the end of the show. So let's get into video news. That's where we usually like to start. We're going to start with a really kind of interesting one. I think we talked about this a few months ago when it was first announced, but our friend Dave Zatz has a video walkthrough, a first look of TiVo DVR on Android TV.
Yep. Now, you know, I'm not convinced this is exactly what we've talked about before, because what we saw at CES was basically a software version of a mini, an extender that would allow you to access your actual TiVo box. My understanding of this is a provider's alternative to giving you a TiVo DVR. Instead, they're giving you an Android box that has what appears to be full TiVo software built onto it as an app.
Kind of like an app, but it's really more of a complete overhaul of the UI. I've got an Android TV box. I've got an NVIDIA Shield TV. I've also got a TiVo. And when this thing boots up, it boots up to the TiVo home screen. It does not boot to the Android TV home screen.
Interesting.
So this is a super ugly looking plastic box, but it boots right into TiVo, and the user interface is pretty much the same. You still have the same horizontal menu structure that you're used to on the home screen, with your My Shows section and some of, you know, tiles across the bottom of things that you might want to watch. The guide still looks pretty much the same. The DVR stuff looks basically the same, which is all good. All of that is good. I mean, we both agree that TiVo is pretty much the best available DVR you can get right now, right?
Well, the best one that they still make.
Exactly. That's why I said that you can still get right now. Yeah. So you've got a fantastic DVR plus way more apps. And that's what I think is really nice about this, because the TiVo has apps and it has most of the apps that you would want, but not all of them. And the big one for me is TiVo doesn't have Spotify. And I like to listen to Spotify on my TV a lot, because
we just talked about this last week.
Right. We probably talk about this almost every week. My TV is connected to the best speakers in my house. So of course that's where I want to listen to music. So not having that app on TiVo makes me not fire up the TiVo as much. All that being said, this video that Dave has, and this is probably somewhat early. Well, maybe it might not be. This looks like they could ship it now and it looks pretty functional, but it all looked a little sluggish to me. Everything about the UI seemed slow. Flipping between pages in the DVR, just basically everything within this app or within the user interface looked slow.
Wait, are you telling me that a local cable provider went with an OEM and under-specced the DVR that they're giving to their customers? No.
I know it's shocking, but that is exactly what this looks like. I really don't think they've got the same hardware in this thing that the NVIDIA Shield TV has in it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really disappointing. And frankly, I am surprised that TiVo is willing to put their name on that sort of experience. So I hope that this is maybe, I don't know, not quite production box ready. I don't know.
Maybe, but I doubt it. Like if they're sending this out to testers like Dave Zatz, this feels like pretty much final hardware.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
I'm really mixed on this because I love the idea. I just want the performance of my NVIDIA Shield. And I don't think there was any mention of this thing being 4K either, but maybe it is. I just don't know for sure.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Another thing that I don't think was mentioned was whether or not it'll have the Amazon Prime Video app. It probably will because
Wait, I'm going to interrupt you midstream. It is 4K.
Oh, it is 4K? Well, that's good.
It is 4K.
That's good.
So that's good,
yeah.
But not if it's not capable of supporting that efficiently.
Right. You know, that's generally done on the chip, you know, hardware decoding of the video. So that part is probably fine.
That's true.
Probably, but it's just the rest of it that feels sluggish. And it probably will have Amazon Prime Video because we also just recently talked about how that app is finally available across Android TV boxes as a whole. It's no longer just an NVIDIA Shield TV box exclusive sort of thing for Android TV. So it probably is going to have basically every app you're looking for. The Android TV ecosystem has pretty much everything. Like, I'm struggling to think of anything that it doesn't have at this point. So
it currently does not have the Apple TV app, and I don't know if it's going to get it. I don't think it is.
Good. That's a good
Roku
point.
Roku, Fire TV, and I don't know that Android TV was on that list. I'll have to go back and check.
I think you might be right there. I think you might be. So that's TiVo DVR on an Android TV from a smaller cable provider. I'll be real curious to see when this comes out, if this is actually final production hardware and software, because maybe they can make this faster with some software optimizations, but maybe not. I'm also curious how they're going to price this. Is this just going to be the normal DVR that you get from that cable company and their normal DVR pricing, which tends to be $10 to $20 a month, depending on your cable provider?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Although that wouldn't really be significantly more than what you'd be paying for TiVo service monthly anyway.
Right.
So maybe that's not a big deal unless you're paying per box. And then that could get kind of expensive. It's worth noting that this is through RCN. RCN actually serves the DC area. So they don't come out this far, unfortunately, but that is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, while you can't get an RCN TiVo DVR on Android TV, there our next story you can get, and I can't. And that is HDR in Plex on an Apple TV. Have you tried this yet?
I haven't, but you know what's funny? I don't know that I realized that I wasn't getting this. So apparently the enhanced video player that they deployed to Apple TV a while ago has received an upgrade that allows it to now render HDR. For some reason, I thought that we had HDR before. Maybe we didn't, and I just thought we did. But either way, it's really good that we have it. Okay, Plex, I know somebody from Plex listens to this show. Atmos, you got us there? Atmos, we need Atmos next.
And do they have Atmos on anything? I don't pay as much attention to Atmos since I don't have an Atmos setup.
I don't think they officially support Atmos on anything. No.
You know, I now that I think about it, they might on NVIDIA Shield. They might.
I didn't think it was out yet, but
the guys over at AV Rant would know for sure.
Oh, you know, I might be talking with one of them soon.
Might be a good opportunity for you.
All right. Cool.
All right. Let's move on to some music news. Oddly, we have more music stories than we do video stories. First one, Pandora. This is an app that I think you still use a lot, but I haven't used Pandora in years. They're getting a full-blown voice mode that's basically a voice assistant similar to Siri or, you know, Amazon's voice assistant and Google and all that stuff. But it's just for Pandora. It's just within the app. And it's obviously very focused on music. And so you can say things like, play new music. And because it's Pandora, it's all completely customized, and customized isn't the right word, personalized to your music preferences. They know what you like. So if you ask the Pandora voice assistant to play you new music, it's going to play you new tunes of stuff you like. And that's awesome. It can also do all of the obvious things, like if you just tell it to play Blink 182, it will. Richard wouldn't do that. He should, but he won't. If you ask it to play a specific song, it will. So it's got all of the normal voice assistant type stuff that you would expect from music, but also that extra layer of personalization. It also isn't going to cost you anything. Pandora has paid levels of subscriptions, but the voice assistant is going to be available on, well, and is available now on iOS and Android devices, even if you're a free user of Pandora. So that's kind of awesome. Richard, am I right? Are you still a Pandora user?
I absolutely am a Pandora user. Now, I don't have their service that allows me to play music on demand. I just have their paid stations service. So basically all of their stations, and of course you can create your own stations without advertising. That's what I pay for through them. I guess this is cool. I kind of feel like any company throwing money at creating their own assistant is a fool's errand right now. But okay. I don't understand why this just couldn't be integrated into the assistants that already exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not like they're asking complicated things here.
Right. Now, I know with Siri, for example, that they restrict which services are allowed to use Siri. So it's entirely possible that Apple may say, nope, you're a competing music service. We don't allow you to use Siri to call up anything in your app from Siri. You have to figure out something on your own. But, you know, couldn't they somehow partner with Amazon or something? I don't know. This just feels really, it feels like a Band-Aid.
Well, and maybe they felt like they were going to get cut off at the knees because the three major voice assistant technologies are all owned by competitors. Amazon right. has a music streaming service, Apple has one, and so does Google. Well, Google has like 12 of them, and Amazon has 3 or 4. So maybe that was their concern.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is. And given that, maybe they have larger designs for this thing at some point in time, but who knows? Did you have a chance to try this? You don't use Pandora.
I don't even have the app on my phone.
Yeah, I'll have to give this a try and see what I think about it. I'm curious what the mechanics are, because if it's just a matter of, oh, okay, well, you go in and then you press and hold this button, or you press this button and then you talk to it, and then there's some new voice that you're not familiar with, and yet maybe you have to train it because it doesn't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. I'll try it.
Okay. Next one I did get to try. It's a YouTube music story. I don't remember if I mentioned this last week or if this is a more recent thing for me. I did sign up for a free trial of YouTube Music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got tired of being hounded?
I wanted to try it. And I thought that I was going to be getting a lot more benefits than I actually ended up getting. I thought that if you were a YouTube Music subscriber, you got ad-free YouTube. And
no, it's the other way around.
Yeah. So I kind of got duped. Not really. I mean, I guess I just didn't, you know, reading for comprehension. I guess I failed at that time. I don't get ad-free YouTube. I don't have the ability to, you know, download YouTube videos. I do have the ability to download things from YouTube Music for offline playback, and that's good. You know, I might as well just, I was going to use this time to also talk about my experience with it. So I might as well do that now before we get into this new feature, especially since it's not that exciting. YouTube Music is fine. It's, I mean, it's had access to everything that I've wanted to listen to. So that's good. Although I haven't put it through all of its paces yet. It has the offline playback, which is important to me. The captioning is nice because you can just turn on captions and see the lyrics for the songs. You know, I don't think, like, I think there are ways to make Spotify do that, but maybe not for many songs. And like, there were captions for what I would consider quite obscure songs in YouTube Music, because I think YouTube just does that automatically for YouTube videos. So that's cool. Having music videos is kind of cool, but I don't really care that much about the music videos. But the big problem for me is that I kind of want YouTube Music to become my default YouTube player, because on my phone, most of my YouTube viewing is for music, because in, you know, like when I'm playing guitar and stuff, a lot of times the links that I'm sent to for this is the song we're playing this week, it's a YouTube link. So I can make a YouTube playlist, but that's not a YouTube Music playlist. And if it's just going to open up YouTube, that doesn't allow me to save it offline or anything like that so that I can listen to it in my car. I have to just go and manually find it myself in YouTube Music because they're completely separate apps. So I'm finding it pretty frustrating, and I don't think I'm going to end up sticking with this. I think I'm probably just going to, you know, when this trial is over, just go back fully to Spotify. So that's my current experience with it.
And isn't the intent that this is ultimately going to take over from Google Music, Google Play Music?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's just not giving me the things that I was hoping it would give me. I'm not saying it's a bad service. It has some pluses over Spotify, like the caption functionality. And if you're into music videos, it's way better than what Spotify's got. But
yep,
it's just not what I'm looking for. So new feature this week is, because it can do music and music videos, they've now made a really simple toggle right in the app for switching between just audio or the video. And the really important thing here is that if you switch, it doesn't have to start the song over. It was described as seamless. To me, seamless means there is no pause at all. That is not the case here. There is a slight pause, but it does pick up almost exactly where it left off. Like, it might be half a second off or something like that, but it's not going to be 30 seconds off, and you definitely don't have to start at the beginning. And if you're doing music videos, apparently if there's like a bunch of stupid crap at the beginning of the video that isn't really music, it just chops that off and you don't have to watch all that junk. So that's all cool stuff. And if you find yourself like constantly flipping to just the video or just the song, it actually pops up and says, do you want to just set this option as the default? So it's smart enough to ask you questions like that too. So there's some good things here. I just don't see myself sticking with YouTube Music here long term.
Is this available on every music video?
Well, I haven't watched every music video, so I'm not sure.
That was a very safe answer. You should run for politics.
Like the ability to basically turn off the video and just listen to the music?
Well, to toggle between them. I mean, I think it's if for everything that has an audio and video pair, they're doing this, that's kind of phenomenal. I am way more excited about this than you are. I think this is expletive brilliant. I mean, I would love this. I don't subscribe to YouTube Music, but I absolutely love this feature. I think it is so, so smart.
Why?
Well, so a lot of people used to just go to YouTube and play videos to listen to music because pretty much everything was out there. And at the time, pretty much everything was free. So this would just be everybody's way to listen to music. And now that they have a player and you can just listen to music when you want to, but hey, oh yeah, I love the video for this. Or I wonder what the video for this is like, to be able to just quickly jump to that and do it in a way that is more or less seamless. Yeah, I get the idea that you're going to lose fractions of a second because the indexing is only by second.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's some load time. But if I used YouTube Music, I can absolutely see me using this because I watch videos on YouTube. If you go into my recommended stuff, it's like a bunch of Star Trek stuff, a bunch of Disney stuff, a bunch of space stuff, and a bunch of music videos.
And I do watch a fair amount of music videos because that's the way that people are sending me links to stuff. But that's the only reason. And I don't actually care about the video portion of it.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, I've always liked, you know, I kind of feel like I grew up in the MTV generation. Like,
oh, I watched a ton of MTV growing up. Yeah. For sure.
But, back when it was music television.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. But one thing that I do want to hit on real quick, because you said that the songs are obviously indexed by second, probably. And then you said the obvious loading time. There's no loading time. It is like, bam, it's playing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is the really awesome part about this, that makes it feel almost magical, that you can be going from just audio to immediately watching the video with no loading time. Like, it loads as fast as video ads do. Video ads always load immediately. It's the videos you actually want to watch that you have to wait for the buffering.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that's the latest with YouTube Music. And then another one that's really more for you than it is for me, although you're not a Spotify user, but Spotify app, I can't believe this is a news story. Spotify is just now finally getting some iPad multitasking features. It can now be put into split view, which just means splitting your iPad screen into two halves and running two apps at the same time. And slide over, which I don't really know what that means. And I couldn't find a screenshot of Spotify in slide over mode. But apparently split view has been available on iPads since like 2015.
And oh, yeah.
This feature is just now.
Yeah, this feature has been around for a long time. Now, don't be misled by the headline. The headline makes you think that you mean when you left Spotify, you couldn't listen to the music anymore? No.
Right.
This isn't YouTube. This was specifically referring to the ability to see multiple things on your iPad simultaneously. And slide over is the mode where if you have an app that doesn't support multitasking, but you want to run one that does at the same time, then you can have it kind of hover as a small window on one side or the other over top of whatever your full screen app is. And that's what you used to have to do when you wanted to do something else while you were listening to Spotify, if you wanted your Spotify window open. So this is a good thing that they're doing this. Why this is news, I don't know. For the record, Homeboy had this feature the year it came out. This is not a hard thing to do. And I would argue, as someone who's done who's worked on teams that have done a lot of iOS development, that if you're not building your iOS applications to support this out of the gate, you're friggin' doing it wrong. And these are big name companies that still don't support this.
So do you think that the oncoming iPad OS is the reason they did this?
I don't know if it's that, because it's not a requirement. You're not going to have to support it in iOS 13. But I think what's happening is we're starting to see that more and more people are taking devices like the iPad with the integrated keyboard cover from Apple and making that their kind of carry device. That's what they use sometimes instead of a laptop. Mm-hmm. And so basic multitasking things are becoming more and more expected from companies producing software. So I think it's probably just the pressure to do it, because, geez, I can't believe the companies aren't still doing this.
Right.
Particularly if they already have an iPhone app, because all you're really doing is you're swapping to an elongated view of your iPhone screens when you're in this multitasking mode. But it means that, you know, you've properly designed and laid out the iPad app, and not everybody does that.
Yep, that's true. All right, let's hit on a couple of quick gaming stories from the company that I don't talk about much in the gaming space, and that is Nintendo. But the two biggest stories of the last couple of weeks in gaming are all from Nintendo. The first is they've announced a new console, the Nintendo Switch Lite. And maybe console isn't the right word to use here, because it is a version of the Switch that A, doesn't switch, because it's meant to be a fully mobile version of the Switch. The Joy-Cons, the little controllers on the sides, they do not detach. This is a mobile video game console only. It does not have a dock to drop it in to connect to your TV. You can't even just connect the USB-C cable to HDMI to a TV and make it work. It doesn't connect to a TV. It is mobile only. It's got a smaller display. It's got a slightly different processor in it, we think, that is allowing it to get slightly better battery life than the currently existing Switch. But it's also cheaper. The regular Switch, the, you know, maybe you want to call it the full Switch, is $299. The Switch Lite, which comes out in September on September 20th, is $199. So you save yourself $100 and you have a mobile only Switch. And that's what a lot of people want. It's not what everybody wants. It's not what I want, but it's what a lot of people are going to want. And it's going to be, I think, a big seller for people looking to get a Switch for their kids. It's kids that have always been the big market for these portable consoles, like the 3DS and the DS before it, and all of the Game Boys before that. These have always been really big with kids, probably because us jerky grownups want to keep the TV to ourselves and send the kids off with their small screen devices. So I think
this is smart.
Yeah, I think this is really smart. And I think it's going to do really, really, really well for them. It's going to be available in three different colors at launch. They're going to do a million different color variations. I don't see many current Switch owners going out and getting one of these, because like it's more portable than a Switch.
Right. But why would you? I don't think that's the market they're going for anyway.
Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be many current Switch owners that do this. But
unless dad has the Switch and the kids are always taking it. So here, okay, now you have one of your own.
Exactly. The problem with all of that is that Nintendo is, they're like decades behind Microsoft and Sony when it comes to like online system stuff. Like they don't have a consolidated cloud game save mechanism. They don't like your games are tied to a specific console. If I buy a game digitally on my Switch, I don't think, like, I don't know all of the details because I don't have a Switch, but like getting to be able to play a digital game on a different Switch, I think is a giant hassle. So there's going to be some issues there, but.
Can I say something that might be a little bit politically baity, but I think is kind of funny and fitting? Their base doesn't care. They're gonna follow it and buy it anyway. They don't care about that stuff. Like, we were complaining about the video quality on the old Nintendo consoles and how they just did, you know, they were never going to have the quality of games that you get and how so many of the games are juvenile. And it's all really based on these two or three simple franchises. And aren't they ever going to branch out? It doesn't matter. People still love it.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I think the problem will be when, if the less knowledgeable people who have bought a Switch and were buying games digitally because it's more convenient, and then they buy, you know, maybe they buy a Switch for both of their kids for Christmas this year.
Right.
And the kids are like, hey, I want to play Mario Party or I want to play Zelda or whatever. And they can't, or they can't easily, or they can't at the same time. And it's a big nightmare. That's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people.
Sure.
So hopefully Nintendo is going to figure some of this stuff out, but they've never been great at online functionality. So we'll see. One more quick gaming story. It's also Switch related because just basically a week after they announced the Switch Lite, they also said, oh yeah, we're releasing a new version of the regular Switch. And it's not really much of a difference. It looks exactly the same. It functions exactly the same. The only difference is it gets better battery life. They didn't really say how. It's assumed that it's basically just a new system on chip sort of processor type thing that's giving them better efficiencies and stuff like that. So, but it's significant. The current generation regular Switch gets 2.5 to 6.5 hours of battery life. This new one is going to get 4.5 to 9.5. So that's a pretty big jump when it's maybe just a processor change and nothing else is going to change. So the price stays the same and they're actually doing one really smart thing and changing the packaging so that it's super obvious when you walk into Target or whatever to buy a Switch. You want the one in the bright red packaging. That's the new one. After around mid-August, this thing will be available. Buy the one in the bright red packaging. It's the one you want. It gets better battery life. There's no reason not to get that one. It's going to have the same options for the Joy-Con colors and all that stuff. So bright red packaging after mid-August if you're getting a Switch. All right.
Cool.
That's it for our gaming news, which I think that means that's it for all of our news, like usual. If you're enjoying the show, do us a favor. Share it with your friends. Go out on Twitter or Instagram, take a screenshot of whatever podcast player you're using and share the show with your friends so that more people can find out about Entertainment 2.0 and so they can find out about what Richard is doing in his entertainment center.
Yeah, well, these days I'm swearing at my brand new Fire TV stick.
Does that help? Does it make it work better?
It doesn't, curiously. So I was under the impression that I was having problems with my HD home run recordings and that I was having problems with some of my 4K streaming services. In fact, no, those things are working great on other devices. What I'm having problems with is that for some reason, my Fire TV just presents jerky video.
Jerky video, like all of those episodes of Big Brother with all of those jerks. Is that what you mean?
No, not like that. Like when you poorly transcode a DVD or Blu-ray disc and it just looks like it's just it looks like that sound. It looks exactly like that sound.
For those of you listening, your podcast didn't just skip. That was actually Richard's voice making that sound.
Right. Well, that's what this looks like. It looks like that sounded. So I am kind of beside myself because I have this right next to a really good access point. I don't have Wi-Fi problems with any of the other devices that I have in this area. So I don't understand what's going on. My Roku works better than this. Again, I don't know. I'm going to have to see if I can disconnect from Wi-Fi, reconnect, or try something different. I don't know what's going on, but I'm very frustrated by it.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it has not thwarted me from watching all the jerks on Big Brother. So I have been continuing with that. And that was a good description because there are a lot of jerks on this season's Big Brother. And I kind of hate, so I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but it's insanely frustrating to me that what has happened in this season is that you have a bunch of like cool kids that all banded together and they're in an alliance and they're picking on the kids that would be the outcast kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean picking on them, like they're actually like bullying them.
Ugh.
Like they're trying to make them feel bad and they're trying to like, you know, turn them against each other and stuff like that. And I know this is how Big Brother is played, but the dynamic here is really disturbing, particularly while there's all this talk about bullying and division among people. And the other weird thing is that the first three people evicted from the house were people of color.
Oh, yikes.
I'm like, what is going on? It's really messed up.
Mm.
It's really messed up. So I'll continue to watch, but I'm really frustrated. I'm just because I really feel like they went out to see if they could find themselves the best group of jerks they could find this season.
Yeah, they might have. And unfortunately, if they did, it was because feels like that's what we are nowadays.
Sometimes it does feel like that's what we are nowadays. Anyway, less of a rant on other stuff I've been watching. I continue watching Extras, and that is continuing to be enjoyable. Keeping up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then a whole bunch of Apollo stuff. So the Apollo moon landing and launch and all of that happened 50 years ago. Today, actually, 50 years ago, they're on the flight back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to just kind of get as much Apollo stuff as I can that I haven't seen yet. So I finished watching Chasing the Moon, which was that PBS series, 6 hours on PBS. It was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned a bunch of stuff in that I just did not know. So I thought that was really cool. I also watched a docudrama. I don't know who did it, but it was also available on PBS called 8 Days to the Moon and Back. And essentially, they're mixing live footage, authentic audio from, again, that restored audio that NASA did a few years back, synced up with actors playing the three men in the capsule.
That's cool.
So it is kind of cool. It's weird, though, because I've seen so much stuff now with the actual guys that it's hard for me to like juxtapose that with different faces. Mm-hmm. But it was still kind of cool. And then I don't know if you know, but CNN's been running the series that they have every once in a while on movies about different pop culture stuff. And the one that they're doing now is on movies. And about a week ago, they were talking about the movie Broadcast News, which I had never seen before. And apparently it's like a classic. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a watch. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was, I would say, a classic 80s style movie, kind of mixing the whole drama and comedy and perspective in the workplace and women in the workplace and stuff like that. It was good. It was really good. And I did that on the tail end of my free week of Stars and then immediately canceled my subscription so that I didn't get charged at the end of my free trial.
Nice.
And then on behind me now, I don't know if you can hear it, but it has been on in my house 24/7 since the launch, is a website called apolloinrealtime.org. Apollo in Real Time, they went into this in great detail on hometech.fm, and Seth has kind of been addicted to this too, so I'm not going to cover this in any great depth, but it is a to-the-second kind of glimpse into all of the media from the Apollo mission, from launch till landing, actually till from pre-launch until landing, and it's all done in real time. And it has a timeline and milestones and all 20 some tracks of all the audio that NASA restored. And you can pick and choose who you want to listen to at any point in time. But then there's an overall feed that just kind of gives you the important stuff and the stuff that it was available to the public mixed in with some background stuff. It has been amazing. I think I mentioned that on the 40-year anniversary, they just had an audio of what was publicly available before. This just blows it away. I love it. And it's been on all the house speakers 24/7 since it started. So I think we have one or two more days left. Two. Lands on Thursday.
Nice. That's really cool.
And that's it for me.
Okay. Then I'm going to go into my rant. It starts off good. I've been talking for weeks now that Veronica Mars is coming back.
Oh, right.
And it was supposed to come back this coming weekend. And they decided to release it a week early, probably because of Comic-Con, but I don't know for sure. Mm. Kristen Bell was at Comic-Con and she jokingly on stage was like, "Hey guys, it's my birthday. Let's just release it today as a birthday present." And so they did. And I'm sure they didn't do it because it was her birthday or whatever. But it was a cool stunt, except for the fact that, like, I think there were a lot of people who were like, I've got one more week to, like, binge everything else. And then, oh, crap, it's here now. I have to watch. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't binge any of that other stuff and jumped straight into season 4. It's good. I'm 3 episodes in. It's 8 episodes. It is... You know, earlier that night, my daughter, who's 11, was like, is this a show I could watch with you? And I'm like, well, it is kind of like Nancy Drew, but no. I don't remember a lot of the details, but it wasn't sweet and innocent like Nancy Drew. That's not Veronica Mars. So
no, it was more high school age than like junior high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is very much not that. It is well past that. There's all sorts of very crude and explicit humor. There are a couple of very violent scenes. It's not for watching with your young ones, that is for sure. But at its core, it's still Veronica Mars. It's really good. I'm very much enjoying it. I'm very jealous that my friend and co-host over on Story Players, Joe D'Estasio, he watched the whole thing over the weekend. I wish I could have found the time to watch all 8 episodes, but I didn't.
Wow.
I really wish that I would have done that, because here's where my rant comes in. Today, pulling out my phone, and as I normally do on my Pixel, you can swipe over to the Google feed or whatever they call it, and it's just like a personalized list of news stories and stuff that might be of interest to you. And it's Google, so they know everything about me. So, of course, it's generally pretty accurate. A lot of guitar stuff, music stuff, sports stuff, and some Veronica Mars stuff. And in that list was an article with, and these are just headlines and pictures. That's it. The headline of the article had a major spoiler for this season.
No
way. Major spoiler. Like, there's no way around it. It's apps. Like, there's it's not subtle in any way. It's just, yep, this happens for sure. And I'm not going to hint at all what it is, because this show has been out for 4 days. It is way too early. I mean, frankly, I don't think there's ever a reason to ever put a spoiler in the headline, but you definitely can't do it 4 days after an 8-episode season launches. I'm so, so mad that they did this, because it's, I mean, does it ruin the whole series for me? Probably not, but it's going to be a major, major scene in the show. And now that scene is basically ruined for me.
That's crap.
I can't believe that's absolute sort of crap.
What was the outlet?
TV Time. I wonder if it's still in my list. I wasn't going to click on it because I didn't want to give them the clicks.
Right. No, I understand. But usually they identify
who the
provider is. And frankly, I want to out them.
Yeah. Let me see.
So that our hundreds of thousands of listeners can throw their rage at this outlet.
Exactly. Come on. Nope. It's not in my list anymore. It was like TV Time or something like that, but it was, yeah, I'm so mad. So mad. And I walked over to Joe's desk and I'm like, this looks like a spoiler, doesn't it? And he just gives me this look like, ah, oh, dude. Yup. Like, he didn't want to confirm it, but it's like, there's no way this isn't a spoiler. There's no way. It has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is really, really terrible.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of other things. Like, I've got one in there right now. Here's a headline. The Veronica Mars twist that undoes a strong season. That's a perfectly acceptable headline.
Yep.
Doesn't ruin anything. Jerks. Why do people have to be like this?
Yeah, it looks like it was probably TV Line.
Yes, TV Line.
And I'm really, really disappointed by that, because their editor-in-chief, Michael Osiello, is way above that kind of crap. The problem is that that's now all part of the network that includes stuff like BGR and Spy and Variety and Hollywood Life and all these things that are like just known to be clickbaity.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I've made my peace. It's time to move on, I guess. I did play a little bit more of Gears of War 4. We're near the end. I thought we were going to finish this last night. We only had 5 chapters to go. They ended up being a lot harder than we expected. So Joe and I are still not done with Gears 4, but I imagine we will be by the time we record the show next week. And we're looking forward to, in case you haven't figured that out, I really like these co-op games. There's a big one coming out this week called Wolfenstein Youngblood. I don't think we're going to play it right away. We're probably going to wait for it to go on sale or something like that. But I'm really looking forward to that one. It looks interesting. The whole Wolfenstein series, with it being, you know, basically alternative history where the Nazis won World War II. It's interesting. It's really interesting. So, so that's going to be one of my next big ones. But I really need to get back and finish God of War as opposed to Gears of War. And then one other thing that I've done in my entertainment center, but sort of, I've added to my collection at least. Best Buy had How to Train Your Dragon 3. I don't even know the subtitle. It's sitting across the room from me right now. They had the 4K.
Hidden World, I believe.
That sounds right. They had the 4K disc on sale for $15. This movie's only been out for a couple of months on disc, I think. So, and Jen loves How to Train Your Dragon. So I made sure to snatch that up. Although, unfortunately, I think it's 4K. I don't think it's actual 4K, but...
Oh, which is ridiculous, because it's a friggin' digital cartoon.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that's in my library, and now I'm just going to... We don't own any... I don't think we own any of the previous movies. but we should. So I'm going to be looking to see if I can get the first two. They make them on 4K. I mean, even if it's not for realsies 4K, I'd still rather have it in 4K. So
yeah, no, absolutely. I'm assuming your kids have seen the previous films?
Yes. Yes, they have.
Yeah. I mean, they're wonderful films. Yeah, they're so good. I don't think three is as good as the first two, but they're so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't seen three. I think Jen did take our oldest to see three when it was in theaters, but I have not seen it myself yet. So hopefully soon, but I'd rather watch Veronica Mars. All right. Well, that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center. And that's it for this show. So if you want to find us and chat with us some more, we're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Instagram. If you're more into the photo side of things, that's what all the cool kids tell me Instagram is for. I'm not cool enough for Instagram. We're also on Facebook. All of that is over in the show notes on our website at thedigitalmediazone.com. We've also got other podcasts, one that just came out today that's really good that Richard does. It's called Home On. It's a show that focuses on smart home technology, but that's not exactly what this most recent episode was.
Nope. We focused more on design in the age of technology. So I mentioned before that we were getting an editor from Architectural Digest. Katie Olson is the editor of AD Pro, which is an online resource for professionals in the architecture and design space. And we had, I think, a really great conversation, but it was much more on the design side of things. You know, knowing that you have technology in your space, then what kind of things do you need to take into consideration, and what trends are you seeing? And it may not necessarily be smart, but what design trends are you seeing that are in some way impacted by technology? So check that out if you're interested. And I don't normally do this over here, but I am also going to pimp the Smart Home show this time, because in our last episode, we did what's really kind of an update to a show that I did, I think, with you a couple years ago, where you and I, Josh, went through and talked about the things that are in our respective smart homes. Mm-hmm. And Adam and I are now doing the same thing. And we have so much stuff in our homes now that we each needed our own episode. The first of those is already out, and it's about the stuff that is in my home. And today also marked the launch of our website that hosts all of these new episodes at smarthome.fm.
So I was listening to that episode earlier today also, and you guys said, this is going to be a two-part episode. And I thought, of course it's going to be a two-part episode. You couldn't possibly talk about all of the things that Richard has in one episode.
Somebody else mentioned that too, but no, we didn't mean that.
Yeah, later on I figured out, oh, right, it's because Richard isn't the only one on this show. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, it's a fun episode. It's crazy to me how much stuff you have.
Oh, you just wait till we go through Adam's list.
Yeah, I'm real curious to see what he's got, because it seems, just from listening to previous episodes with you guys, Adam doesn't seem nearly as, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, so focused on, like, this is the type of system that I'm doing. Like, you're all in on Insteon for your lighting, and Adam's just like, right, ooh, this product sounds cool, I'm gonna buy
right
it.
No, that's exactly right. And so we talked about that, actually, and I think what we concluded is that I have more nodes. He has more brands.
I believe that. I absolutely believe that. Cool. Well, we do this show, Entertainment 2.0, live typically Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It fluctuates a little bit. The summer is bonkers, so it's been a little bit later the last couple of weeks. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure when we're going to do the live shows. Tony just said earlier, he's really glad we tweet when the live show is going to be, because that's the only way he remembers and knows when to show up for the show. So join Tony and the many others that occasionally pop into our chat room and be a part of the show, because that's going to do it for episode 491. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.